right. Well, that is the now familiar psalm music. And when you hear that, it's time to break open the psalms. And today's we're looking at Holy Thursday. And so we're going to take a look at Psalm 88. But first, I want to let you know a little bit of great news here. We have a special section on the Soulful Psalms. And Ace, you want to tell us real quick how people can access that Soulful Psalms links?
Yeah, easy to do. So wherever people like to stream their podcasts. So if you listen on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, any of those, you can just search Soulful Psalms and it'll come up. Of course, you can check it out, ewtnradio.com/podcast, because it'll be in Podcast Central and then also on SoundCloud. So pretty much anywhere. It's a Coke or Pepsi world. Everybody kind of has their place where they like to stream. So wherever you listen, just search Soulful Psalms, and it should come up right there. You can subscribe, and then you don't miss future episodes.
Yeah, so basically what we've done, we've taken all this, the section of Beacon of Truth on the Soulful Psalms, and put them all into a podcast. So now it's on Soulful Psalms podcast. So that's pretty cool.
Start their own little Easter Bible study if they want.
There you go. Well, today we're looking at Psalm 88. Psalm 88 is in book 4 of the Psalms. Now, the reason why I chose this psalm, because this is the psalm that traditionally Jesus prayed in the cistern, in kind of the basement dungeon area under the house of Caiaphas on Holy Thursday night. In fact, if you go to the Holy Land and you go down into that into the cistern where Jesus was, there's a book there, and it has about 30 or more different languages of Psalm 88, and you can read that psalm while there. It's powerful. This would have been a psalm that Jesus prayed again on Holy Thursday. Now think about this: it's dark in there. There's no light. There's a cistern, so there's water running through there. It would have been damp. It would have been dark. It would have been bleak. It would have been wet. And traditionally, again, this is the psalm that Jesus would have prayed. Now, it's fairly long, but the prescript here is pretty important. It's the entire first verse. It says, a song, a psalm of the sons of Korah for the choir master in tone like Mahalat Lenaoth. So Mahalat Lenaoth means on the sickness of affliction. Right, so this was the sons of Korah. They gave this song to the choir master. And we'll find out who that choir master is actually in a second here, because we're still not done with the prescript. It's supposed to sound like another tune, Mahalat Lenaoth, on the sickness of affliction. A maskil, again, maskil means enlightenment, but again, we don't know what it meant back then. And it says for Haman, the Ezrahite. So Ezrahite. So there's two of these guys there, Haman and Etan. So the Ezrahites were a clan within the tribe of Levi. And Haman was the choir master who the sons of Korah gave this psalm to put music to. All right, so Haman means faithful. And interesting enough, he's the son of Joel and the grandson of the prophet Samuel. All right, Haman, his name in Hebrew means faithful. All right. So, verse 2, O Lord and God of my salvation, I cry before you day and night. Let my prayer come into your presence. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is filled with evils. My life is on the brink of the grave. So think about this. Jesus knows what's going to happen. Remember, he had just prayed earlier on Holy Thursday evening in the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives, take this cup from me. And he knew when he was arrested that God's will was going to be fulfilled, that he was going to be the sacrificial lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. He knew that he was going to die the next day, that this was his last night alive. And he's praying this psalm. Right? I am reckoned as one in the tomb. I am like a warrior without strength, like one roaming among the dead, like the slain lying in their graves, like those you remember no more, cut off as they are from your hand. Wow. Just think in his humanity, he's thinking, I'm at a point right now where I'm the living dead, in a sense. You know, I'm going to die. My life is on the brink of the grave. I'm roaming around like among the dead. I'm lying like the slain in their graves. My life is over. You know, this is it. You know, I'm like when you remember no more, Lord, because he's this humanity is feeling this separation, knowing the pain and the torture and the death is coming, and he's already feeling this kind of separation. Of course, we'd never separated from God, but again, in his humanity, he was allowed to experience that so that he could redeem it, so that it could be redeemed. And it continues. It goes on. You have laid me in the depths of the pit. Now, think about where he is. You remember the Passion of Christ, that beautiful scene where after where the Blessed Mary is touching the ground and he's underneath there, you know, like layers down. He's looking up as she's laying down on top because she can sense where he is. Beautiful. Laid me in the depths of the pit in regions that are dark and deep. And he's praying in this environment. This is the environment that he's actually praying this in. And now the humanity of it. Your anger weighs down upon me. I'm drowned beneath your waves. Again, of course, God is not angry. God doesn't have emotions. But again, as the sons of Korah are writing this psalm, and again, this looks like this is a psalm, I think, that's pointing toward Christ. We see the humanity of it, right? The emotion of it. You have taken away my friends, right? The apostles all ran away. He's separated from everyone. To them, you have made me hateful. He's talking about the people of Israel here. Imprisoned, I cannot escape. My eyes are sunken with grief. I call to you, Lord, all day long. To you, I stretch out my hands. Right? So he's sad. He's sullen. He's despondent. He's reaching out to the Lord for help and for love in this dark, in the depths of his sorrow. And again, we've all been there. We've felt in our sorrow, in our despondency, in our despair, that we don't feel the presence of God sometimes. In our anger, in our resentment, in our moments of pain and suffering, you know, we're asking God to feel his love and his mercy and his presence with us. And then he asks a series of questions here, starting at verse 11. Will you work your wonders for the dead? Will the shades rise up to praise you? Will your mercy be told in the grave, or your faithfulness in the place of perdition? Will your wonders be known in the dark, or your justice in the land of oblivion? It's almost as if he's saying, Lord, I mean, if you think in our own lives as well, Lord, right now I am in the depths of despair. I am rock bottom when it comes to my alcohol or my drugs or my sin. Can your love even reach me here? Can your divine mercy reach down with your hand, with your right hand, your hand that saves, and reach down air? Can your love even reach me even here? In the great depth of my despair, is your love present even here? We know that you're everywhere, Lord. We know that. You're omnipotent, you're omnipresent. But Lord, in the depths of my sorrow, in my pain, in my suffering, can your greatness reach me even here? And of course it can. And that's something that we can never forget. Every time I pray this psalm, it just hits me, you know. And I think part of it for me is recognizing that I'm closer to the end than I am to the beginning, you know, and thinking about, you know, what's really important in life as I live out these last, whatever, however many years I have left on this earth. And I think about when I get to a point, you know, maybe where I'm am disabled or not able to take care of myself, and it's when I'm used to being independent. Lord, can your love even reach me now in this darkness that I'm experiencing?
Well, and that's what I hope as people are hearing this, whether it's the first time or the 100th time, that I mean, I've prayed similar prayers. Like, you know, no, even if I didn't know this text, how many times are these our same words to him? Can he save us out of what we're facing or what we're feeling or what we're going through? So no matter where you are in your faith, this should hopefully be an identifiable verse or passage that we all can connect on here at Easter to know that the ultimate suffering was given so that we can experience relief, that we can have some sort of healing or redemption.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And especially with this next section of verses 14 and 15, I think gets to this point where the questions get even deeper now. But I, O Lord, cry out to you. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why do you reject me, O Lord? Why do you hide your face from me? Of course he doesn't reject us. But again, that's the feeling. That's what we are experiencing. I am wretched, close to death from my youth. I have borne your trials. I am numb. Your fury has swept down upon me. Your terrors have utterly destroyed me. Wow. And this last two verses here get me all the time. Again, it feels like the enemy is winning, right? They surround me all the day like a flood. They close in against me. Friend and neighbor you have taken away. My one companion is darkness.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.